Hi everyone, greetings. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch. Thank you for tuning in again to this episode. If you're here for the first time, welcome, and if you're not, welcome back. I would like to think and I'd like to hope that you have already subscribed. If you haven't, it says a lot about you. If you have, thank you for being part of the family. Anyway, let's get into the episode now. Today's episode, I think, is quite similar to the episode that came before it. In its own right, it depends on how you take it, but I haven't even introduced our guest, which is really rude of me. To the left of me is Asisa.
Hi, guys. Hi. Yeah, my name is Asisa. I do a lot of, like, writing and, like, Substack. It's called Her Issue, so definitely check it out. I think you should definitely do that. I'm also on TikTok, which is Her Mind Online, and then my Instagram is just Asisa Kadiri.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that all, like, above your head in the editing. Okay. And I'm going to also put that in the description box. So if you didn't catch that, look, read it. It's there. Or we'll just go down below and then you'll find it and you'll find her. Her writing is genuinely amazing. if you're interested in, like, how would you describe your writing?
Socio-political musings.
Wow.
Yeah. Observations.
And sometimes you tap into poetry.
Yes. Occasionally. I don't know if you guys want to check out my Medium account too, but I don't.
What account is that?
It's... Ooh. I don't remember the name.
Okay.
So it's going to be there or...
Eventually. You just send that to me and then I can put it in the word.
Okay, cool. Okay,
great. Now, like, it's just time for the nitty-gritty, really. The question that I have for you, don't know. And I'm excited to see where you take it. The question is inequality intrinsic to society?
How meaty, honestly.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to stew on that for like 10 seconds.
Absolutely, you should. You can take it in any direction that you want. I have notes that I'm going to unpack.
I feel like I have so much to say about this. There's so much. Oof. Where does one begin? Okay, so I definitely, in the society that we live in,
yeah,
and in the way that our current society thrives,
yeah,
especially in like a westernized context, like I feel like,
yeah,
inequality is definitely intrinsic to society. Okay. Not in the way that like I'd conceptualize like my ideal society, mm-hmm, if that makes sense. Like if I was thinking of like a utopia, it definitely wouldn't have inequality integral to like its bedrock.
Okay.
But I definitely think the society that we've cultivated and the one that like we live in now is definitely, without inequality we wouldn't be where we are, like in so many ways. Yeah, I'm gonna answer yes.
Okay. So, that's interesting. Let's find out if you're gonna like still believe that by the end.
I'm even
sure where I stand with this one. I think I just looked at your work and I was just like, this is like, I want to ask you a question that, you know, really, really touches deep on the things that you're interested in. So I don't know where I stand with it, and the conversation is going to lead me to a conclusion, but what I wanted to start off with is obviously definitions, because that's what we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Just see, so that we can be on the same page with the conversation that we're having. How do we define society? How do we define inequality as well? Because the way that you spoke about it, you said that your ideal society would be, I'm assuming, based on what you said, is like a utopian society, right? That's your ideal. So how does the world that we're living in now differ from the utopia that we're envisioning?
So I guess like with inequality, I guess I'd like use it as kind of like an umbrella term for like a lot of different other marginalizing like structures, if we could like call it that. If we're talking about like sexism, racism, and then even within that like colorism, futurism, like things like those kinds of like structures, like
all the isms,
isms. And then even you have like homophobia, like transphobia, and and I feel like all of those kind of isms like fall under the umbrella term of inequality. But I also do think, because they're just so interlinked, it's definitely hard to have like some without the other. Like I don't think we'd have like fat phobia, for example, without like anti-blackness, and like things like that tend to like interlink and are definitely like reliant on each other. So I feel like when we're talking about equality, I feel like. And yeah, going back to your actual question,
yeah,
if I was thinking about like my utopia,
mm-hmm.
I guess it just wouldn't have present like a lot of these isms. How we would get there is a different question,
because
I'm trying to think of how we would even like begin to reverse all these things.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking when I asked the question at first. So to me, I don't really want to define society. I just think I want to look at it as a world with people in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if the world was like a blank slate,
mm-hmm.
everyone just existed, and then the world was like kicked into motion,
mm-hmm.
will inequality like occur? Is it a necessity to every single society?
I feel like I've done reading on this for philosophy. Like, I feel like I definitely, there's definitely been something in there. I feel like I'm trying to figure out what the reading was, but it's not coming to my mind. But I'm thinking about, like, I feel like there's definitely this debate about whether or not, like, if left to our own devices, things would still, like, chaos would still, like, ensue.
It's given Hobbes.
Yes, okay, because I was thinking that, and I was like, I don't want to misquote, but, no, like,
this is absolutely up to, like, what you interpret it to be.
Yeah, like, I think it's, like, the state of nature, kind of, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm really thinking about it, and I do feel like it's, like, I'm inclined to say that no, that things wouldn't still result in some form of inequality, but like the evidence in my immediate society, mm-hmm. it's like in the context of someone living in like Great Britain, I feel like it's very hard to say that like inequality isn't like something that is like very evident within mm-hmm. like human history.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that it's like intrinsic to human behavior as a whole.
Okay.
Like, I do think we have the capacity for community.
What, I'm so sorry. What I was going to say is, so do you think that inequality comes out of the behavior of human beings? That's where the inequality derives from?
I feel like... I feel like... I'm really trying to think. I'm really trying to think like back as far as I can and like my knowledge, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I feel like inequality definitely feels like it's born out of like ideas of like superiority versus like inferiority. Because I'm thinking about like initially I was just kind of thinking inequality is just born out of like, I don't know, like...
Some things are just not fair.
Yeah, some things just aren't fair, or, like, survival of the fittest, or, like, whatever. But I do think that it comes from more, like, the ideas of, like, who's dominant and who's, like, supposed to be inferior. Because I was thinking a lot about, like, capitalism, and I was thinking a lot about... Oh my gosh, you
touched on a point that I was going to touch on.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say that, like, I feel like if I was thinking about inequality, like, initially, that's, like, one of the first things that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But even, like, capitalism as its structure in itself is born out of, like, certain principles about, like, who's more deserving and who's more, like, human.
Yeah.
And therefore, they're supposed to be, like, the ones dominating. They're supposed to be ones, like...
Since you brought it up.
Yeah.
I want to even touch on the concept and the point of, like, capitalism in a sense that... Okay, let me take it back a little bit in that when we look at the word inequality, connotations of inequality is, like, bad,
mm-hmm.
negative,
terrible.
Is inequality intrinsically bad based on, like, what we think inequality is? Because my own definition, personally, of inequality is missing out on an opportunity that could better your quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think inequality is. Mm-hmm. So based on that definition, if you agree with the definition to some degree, if you would like to continue the conversation with that definition, do you think that inequality is intrinsically bad? I repeat my question.
Sorry, could you remind me of the definition just quickly so I can
You can even see it on the screen at the top. I define it as missing out on an opportunity that could better your quality of life.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So. Sorry, what was the question after that definition?
Does that mean, because the connotations of inequality
are like bad, negative. Okay, yeah.
Is inequality a bad thing? I'm asking that because this is kind of a leading question because I want to ask something after, but okay. I need you to say something first or not say something.
Well, then, based on that definition,
yeah,
then definitely. Like, definitely. Right? Yeah, just because I feel like even if, like, maybe we're not all, like, destined to, like, take all the opportunities that, like, are presented to us or, like, that are available, it's, like, enabling, in just having the, like, just being recognized as having the right to, like, pursue the same opportunities as other people,
yeah,
I feel like is really important because I feel like just to be for everyone to be able to, like, dip their toe,
yeah, so everyone, like, really should crucial. Start at the same place,
yeah,
in the race, basically. Yeah, no one should be
in. If we were talking about, like, from the very beginning,
if society is a black slate,
yeah, then
yes, fair enough. But if we look at the, I'm not gonna lie and say that I'm well versed in capitalism. I know the ins and outs of how it works, but we get the gist of it. If we look at that, would you think or would you agree with the notion that capitalism is actually good because it gets people to work harder and inequality is necessary because it allows the world to progress?
I feel like this idea that, like, capitalism, like, makes people work harder is very specific to a certain group of people who already have, like, an element of privilege. Like, I feel like that line, or, like, that kind of feeds into the whole idea of, like, meritocracy,
yeah,
in a sense. Like, that whole concept, I feel like, is only really applicable to, like, the white middle class, but, like, even if we're not talking about race, like, which, even though I feel like we just have to, but, like, like, the middle class in general, I feel like that whole idea that, like, capitalism makes you work harder is definitely only something that is seen at, like, that level and, like, above. Like, I feel like for people who are, like, born into situations where they're not able to necessarily choose just because of, like, limited access to education and, like, all these kinds of things that just mean that people are just stuck in, like, cycles of poverty. Like, I feel like in that, for that group of people, which is just becoming the majority, I feel like it's very hard to say, like, oh, well, like, it's just gonna make you work harder. It's just like, well, no, because if capitalism is reliant on there always being people, like, at the bottom, it's like, it's, we're never gonna be at a point where, like, it's just making everyone progress or making everyone work harder. Like, it's a necessary function for it to be, like, there still has to be, like, tiers of, like, wealth and, like, access and stuff. So I do think that, like, yeah, I feel like capitalism, no, it's not, wouldn't say it's good. I feel like that is a lot of people's misconception now.
Of the capitalist, like, ideology.
Yeah.
There's. Okay, cool. Is inequality always economic? At its foundation.
Core?
Because hypothetically, if we just had a barter economy, where everyone just traded what they needed and just lived on what was just enough for them to live for the day and then move on and then just do that again, would there be inequality?
I feel like I feel like the question of whether inequality is always tied to, like,
money.
Money. Like, I feel like that really introduces, like, the idea of, like, selfishness, like, as it exists in people. Like, I feel like when people think of, like a bartering society, like, we tend to picture kind of, like a lack of selfishness. There's definitely more, like, humanity there.
Yeah.
So I feel like inequality, like, because, like, the chase and, like, the desire for, like, to hoard wealth and to, like, have, like, money and just to have, like, more money than other people, etc. I feel like that breeds a selfishness that maybe wouldn't exist without that money aspect. Like, even when we look at, like, a lot of the atrocities that happen, like, around the world, you'll always find that, like, somewhere along the line there's, like, money to be found there, or, like, somewhere along the line there's, like,
I just have to bring up.
It's always about the money.
The obvious one, which is colonialism. What people don't understand, I believe, because based on the readings and the studying that I've done on the concept of colonialism, it didn't happen because the West thought that they were superior to the rest of the world. It didn't happen because white people thought black people were not good enough. It's not because they thought the people in India, because that was one of the first places that they went to, were less were lesser than them. It's because they wanted money.
Yeah, I'd argue if anything it's the opposite. Really? It's like you see all these like great nations or like great continents with like all these, they're just so resource rich, and then you also have people that are able to innovate, and like you have communities where people are more focused on like humanity and like the more like sharing aspect of it all, and you see people have like different spiritualities, like different practices, and a lot of the time it's like, especially with the spirituality thing, it's just more like things that like people in the West like didn't necessarily understand. But I do think it's definitely a thing of like seeing like, okay, these are all these nations and all these places that have all these great resources, and like, yeah, like we want to make the money and like we want the resources, but it's like, okay, how do we justify like the enslavement and the denigration of and the colonization of like all these people? Like, how do we justify that?
Justify it past, oh, I just want money.
Exactly.
That's where all the other ideas came from, which is just so crazy to me. That's just so interesting. Obviously, it's, just, it's a bit of a tangent to the question, but like, tangents are good.
Tangents are fine.
That is like, that's what in my head is like, because when I was talking about inequality, we have to think about the different types of inequality, because inequality is not just one thing. It doesn't just manifest in one way. As you mentioned earlier, we have sexism, we have racism, there's homophobia. People get treated because treated differently because of the different ways in which they identify. So when I'm talking about capitalism, okay, without money would there still be inequality? Probably yes. Because the different ways that inequality manifests
can manifest itself,
unless you argue that all of the inequalities come out of money, but I don't think that's true. Because as we can see,
I wouldn't necessarily
it's hard,
it is hard, because I'm trying to think of like an ism or like a prejudice or like the ism in some way tied to the promise of like economic gain for the like the group that's like oppressing kind of thing. Like I'm trying to think of a way in which like money isn't really tied to it. I'm trying to think, maybe within like, but I was gonna say within sexism, but even now you see like even like feminism is being repackaged and like being sold to us. Like even like through a lot of these like liberal feminist ideals that are coming out now, like the whole like divine feminine concept, and like a lot of those things are just being like rebranded and still sold to us, but it still does breed a lot of inequality. So I feel like, I don't know, it's really hard to separate like wealth and inequality.
I think one example that I wanted to give, but I don't know, is it really, is it an, how will I describe it as an inequality? Would I describe it as an injustice? Because what I was going to say was, like, homophobia. Where is the economic gain in that?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Because we can't really use injustice and inequality interchangeably. Right. They're quite different.
Yeah.
So, it's, yeah, that's, to me, it's like, it's not, I think the inequality comes out of the injustice.
Yeah.
With that one. And it's like, how did we get there? And if we want to argue, I'm not saying that this is what we are arguing, but this is an argument that we are, like, what's the word? Investigating, we're looking at, we're, you know, putting, holding a magnifying glass up to, which is a lot of the inequality, if not all inequality that we look, see in the world, is based on economic gain and, like, finance and, you know, commerciality. I'm making it wiser. If that's the argument that we're basing it off of, when we look at things like, as I said, homophobia, like how does inequality manifest there, if at all?
I guess in the immediate, like if I had to like rack my brain, I can't think of a way in which like wealth is tied to homophobia, but I feel like
I want to really hear.
That's the thing. I don't know if it's presumptuous, but I feel like if I had to do enough investigating, I feel like it would only take a quick Google search to see like
the link.
Yeah,
like, but for me, I think a lot of it is usually religious.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And then if we go back again in the West, anyway, religion and how, well, Christianity anyway, how Christianity links to wealth and economic gain again is very interesting.
Maybe religion's the bridge.
Maybe the religion is a bridge between the
homophobia and the
inequality.
And the inequality. Because if we're talking about like ways in which people have used certain ideologies to justify what they're doing, like religion is definitely one of those.
Yeah.
Like especially Christianity is definitely one of those ideologies that has been used to justify.
I wrote a piece about this.
Mm.
It is the sense that like they used Christianity to justify their infiltration and just like blatant, like what's the word, like aggressiveness towards, I'm gonna say like Africans, because they used to justify colonialism.
Mm.
It's good, yeah. So justify that, they said it's because they wanted to evangelize and spread Christianity, but to what extent and to what degree? Because the actions of the colonizers, the actions of the colonizers is like, that's just not, the question of whether it's very Christ-like is a separate conversation, but it's like, that's your justification for like going into different countries and acting the way that you acted and creating a serious dent in history. And it's just like, again, very interesting. And I think that's just the kind of thing that I wanted to just like touch on
with the whole religion aspect, especially like when we're talking about Christianity. I'm really interested, and I feel like this is something I want to do like more investigation on. I'm really interested as to whether, as to how much of like scripture and how much of like what is still preached is the remnants of ideologies being spread to justify like the enslavement of a people. Like I'm really interested in how much of it is like true religion and how much of it is just ideologies being like under the guise of like religion as like a more palatable, like digestible way of like consuming like a narrative. Like I'm really interested in like again, like which came first, like the need to justify something, or whether it just or whether it's like these are the values and we're just gonna apply it to this situation, kind of thing. But I have to think that I'd suspect it was definitely people coming up with one or two things.
And that's a fair take. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was, I made this phrase up, it might exist, but I call it relative inequality. What does that mean to you when I just say that off the bat?
Relative inequality, I understand that as kind of being comparable to like relative deprivation.
Ooh, I don't know what that is.
I don't want to get the definition wrong, so just know that I'm not quoting a definition.
Just the general
people,
idea.
Yeah. from what I understand, like relative deprivation isn't about necessarily where you stand in the context of wider society. It's more about where you stand in the context of your like immediate circle or your peers. So someone who's middle class might claim that they are deprived or like that they're just not that well off, or like that they're just like comfortable and whatnot because they're surrounded by all these people that are a lot wealthier. But in the context of wider society, they're still like pretty high on the totem pole, so to speak.
That's so interesting.
That's kind of how I picture it. I kind of picture it as being similar to that.
Basically. Okay. I think it is. Because I think that what you just explained to me, I think, I don't know if it's the same as relative poverty. It might be slightly different.
I feel like that's kind of what I was describing.
Yeah.
I feel
like, okay, so we're on the same page. Okay, cool. I bring that up because it's like, I feel as though people are claiming inequality where inequality is not. based on their standards of inequality,
okay,
and based on their standards of what equal is.
Mm-hmm.
So the example that I thought of was digital inequality.
Mm-hmm.
There are tribes that exist wherever mm-hmm. that are quite secluded
mm-hmm.
and not really part of the world.
Mm.
They don't want to be. Mm-hmm. They're doing their own thing. They're having a great time.
There's an example in my head, and I wonder if you're gonna bring it up.
I probably won't, because I don't have like a pinpointed example.
Okay.
So you can definitely like link it.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, some people will argue that that's inequality. It's not fair. They don't have like the digital, you know, access that everyone else have. They don't have phones, they don't have internet, they don't have electricity. Like, it's literally like, that's not fair. Let's go over there and help them and fix it.
Yeah.
And it's like, inequality to who?
Yeah.
They never ask
for this is your standard. They might be content. They really might be. Like, the example I'm thinking of, there was this is kind of last year. This is very much in the midst of like very much like fetishy. Like ideas about like black and like specifically like people who are native to Africa.
Okay.
Like,
ooh,
it's
child.
Very like, I noticed a lot of it going around on TikTok.
Yeah.
And like, it's really interesting to me because this whole like, okay, so that was this guy. He was literally, it was just a video of him. I think he was like eating chocolate or something.
Oh my god! You probably have seen this. Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's just sitting there like eating his chocolate, just like chocolate. Looking at the camera, and like initially just saw comments of people just saying like, oh, like you should model, da da da, which is an interesting conversation in
and of itself. Yes.
But there were just a lot of comments saying like, he doesn't even look human. Like, he just looks godlike. Oh my god, I've never seen anybody who just looks this exotic, this different, this special, this not human before. Yeah. And it was very interesting because in the effort to kind of like, well, in theory, kind of like uplift like black people, it's kind of like you're still finding a way to like give the implication of like non-humanity.
Oh my gosh, we were having this conversation.
Yeah, like it was definitely a time. It was definitely really, really interesting, but I feel like, I think you asked me a question and then I went on a tangent.
Tangents are good. What did I ask? I think we're just talking around the conversation of relative inequality, if it exists and what it means,
basically. So with that, like, so I think one of the comments that stuck out to me was someone said kind of like, oh, like, get this guy out of I don't even, bear in mind, they didn't specify where in Africa, not at all. But they just said like, oh, like, get this guy out of Africa and just get him into a modeling agency kind of thing.
Yeah.
And number one,
that's just so
the stories that I'm hearing about like trafficking and like da 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 da. But like number two, it's like the thing that you said. It's a very like interventionist perspective.
Oh, that's a good like, word.
My friend taught me that word.
That's good. Thanks, shout out to your friend.
Thanks, Maria, for teaching me that word. But yeah, like, I think it's like a really interesting perspective because it very much says, and these aren't even the people that are like the head of society. These are just like everyday people living in the West with this perspective.
I'm trying to think of like, the word, like, interventionalist really like touches on it. There's a word that I'm thinking of.
I'm so curious.
It's like, it's not that you're audacious. It's like you're very like, it's on the tip of my tongue. It's not privileged. You're
entitlement.
Like, thank you.
Is that the word?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad.
You're entitled.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, it's so...
Why are you projecting your ideals on other people because you think that yours is the best?
I just think, get this like...
Get out of Africa.
Yeah, like, I'm just... First of all, have you been, like, to any of the... Like, any of the countries, like,
why though?
Genuinely,
the crux of the question is like, why though?
Because like, first of all, there's definitely this idea here that like, just the whole like African mud hut perspective of just like, oh my, look at them, poor them, like they're all just living in dirt and they have no water. Food, they have no water, like kind of thing. So there's that perspective, which, like, but like, even outside of that, even in a scenario where someone is living in a far more like natural state, like if they are living in like so-called mud huts and stuff, which from like what I've actually learned, like people have managed to still have like sewer systems, like people have still managed to have like a lot of these like very like necessities, like things that we'd say we need kind of thing, like even within that context of like, it's just not so like industrialized kind of thing. And so it's just really interesting to me when people have that perspective, because it's like, what makes you think that the way you're living is preferable?
Yeah, that's like, the word. Why is not even like, not that it's better, why is it preferable?
Yeah.
I could be like so happy with what I'm doing right now. Like, leave me alone.
This economy, like, it's not looking good. Like, the majority of young people can't even like dream of buying a house. So like the idea of like living off of the land, or like having like more natural resources available, or like figuring out a way that you're not so dependent on like finances, on like money, like, it actually is, it's like a much smarter way of living. Like, it makes you a lot more free in a sense, because like in this country, like, if you don't make upwards of like 50k, some people even say like 70k, because I'm pretty sure that puts you in like the top bracket, I think, in the UK. Like, if you're not making up to that amount of money, people are just saying like, okay, well, good luck to you.
Yeah, you're not going
to
be living comfortably.
Yeah, like, that doesn't seem preferable to me, like,
at all.
Conceptually, like, that doesn't seem,
I
like,
I want to be somewhere else.
Yeah, like, if there was, and I'm not going to say that, like, I'm not sitting here enjoying, like certain privileges of living in a society that's absolutely so industrialized, even though there are a lot of, like, societies in, like, the global south that are very, very much industrialized, and we just don't we're just not aware of it over here, kind of thing. But even in a context of where I was made to live a lot more like raw and like natural, and not so like tech and like commercial, and just so like, you know, I feel like that's not necessarily a worse way of living. Like, I don't know, I felt this idea that it is like, it's just very damaging.
That just made me think about something, what you were saying, which is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This, it was even Elizabeth that made me rethink, because I feel like, okay, when I first heard about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, I was like, yeah, this is so good, this is amazing, like, everyone should have these basic human rights. It's like, it's a necessity that everyone should have this. And it was just like, no, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know how to explain it, but what some people think is a necessity is different to what others think is a necessity. Especially when you, like, look across the globe. It's just not the same. I think the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is just very heavily westernized and dominated by ideologies that people think is better because it is from the West. And it's like, not only how did we get there, but what does that mean for something like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights? Is it possible to have that? Or is that just a way of creating inequality in and of itself?
Well, I feel like anything that's like universal, I feel like is a problem.
Wow.
Because there's just a lot of diversity amongst human nature, like within human history, there's just so much diversity that it's so hard to put like a universal stamp on anything. And also, when we consider where that universal standard is coming from, like, it's not like all of the leaders of all of the countries got around and sat on a table
and
said, like, these are the, it's like a very it's still a very specific group of people deciding what should be universal. And then also, you're just, they're always just gonna be violating these universal human rights anyway. So it just seems like more of a way of controlling a narrative rather than actually something to A, abide by, and B, that's something that's actually gonna be applicable to like everyone.
That was good.
Thank you.
I liked that.
Thanks.
Because at some point, someone, I don't know where I read it or where I watched it, which is really bad, so like, people could just ignore what I'm about to say, but someone said like, a phone should become like a necessity, like, you know, I'm talking about the right thing, like food, water, shelter, and phone. How does that make you feel?
I feel like it's interesting, because in the way that we like imagine phones as being like a very negative facet of our lives, like mental health wise, and like even the ways in which like especially like impressionable people, like younger kids, are like exposed to a lot of things that they shouldn't be, and the ways in which like phones are used to like access a bunch of things you wouldn't, like, because before like, I guess like way back when, you would have needed to be like in the tech field to even have access to like the internet or to be like on computers and stuff, but we literally have half of it our fingertips, which is like, it's a lot of power to give, like, each individual, like, it's a lot of power. And I think it does breed a lot of arrogance, like, having all this access. But at the same time, I feel like, as far as being able to, like, spread awareness and being able to have a voice in the conversation, like, phones are important, especially with, like, in the context of apps like TikTok. Like, I feel like, you know, like, the TikTok ban in the US and how it's, like, I think it's, like, approaching the Senate. I don't know if it's passed or whatever, but I know that it's up there. I know that it's up there anyway, kind of thing. Like, they're really thinking about passing it. And I do feel like things like that, like the threat of, like, policies or, like, laws like that being introduced does make me feel like the idea of, like, everyone potentially having access to an app like TikTok, which they're so clearly trying to, like, shut down for, like, obvious reasons of, like, censorship and, like, whatnot. Like, I feel like the idea of, like, everyone having access to being able to, like, have a platform or, like, being able to see people with different perspectives is, like, extremely important, because, like, now, like, I can have a debate online with someone that I'm just never even gonna meet, like,
in your life.
That's so interesting, and it definitely breeds, like, a lot more discussion, and, like, the amount of discourse on that app is just it's, like, so, like, obviously you just had it on, like, Twitter and, like, stuff like that, but, like, there's only so far you can go with, like, a comment section, like, having, like, a space where it's so easy to just, like, have conversations and to also see, like footage of, like, everything going on in the world. It does keep people a lot more, like, aware, awake, kind of thing. So I definitely think, in theory, like, phones are, like, bad. Like, when we think of phones, it's like, get off your phone kind of thing. But in terms of, like, if we're thinking about equality, like, I can see why the argument to, like, for everyone to have phones is important. Maybe I'd argue that everyone have phones or, like, no one have phones, but that's just never going to be the case.
Yeah,
so I would think that, like, it'd be nice for everyone to have, like, the ability, even if they would choose to opt out, like, to have the ability to, like, to, like, have that access and stuff.
What you just said was really interesting. You said it can't be either of the extremes. It can't everyone have or no one have, which is why I think I spoke about the relativity of inequality a bit, in that, is there ever going to be a point in which inequality just doesn't exist? And this can be even on a minute scale.
I'm trying to think of, like, I think about this a lot, because you know when you just, like, you just look at, like, everything going on and it does feel hopeless?
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of times where I sit there wondering, like, okay, will this ever not be a problem? Like, will inequality never exist, kind of thing? And I do think, it's like, I'm trying to think of ways that we're seeing it disappear, like, because I feel like that can, like, give me hope. I think, for example, like, gender expression, I think, is one way that we're seeing it actually, like, erode, which is really, 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 really interesting. Like, I feel like that's one of the main ways in which I'm seeing, like, okay, like, there's actually, like, it doesn't feel like there's as much, like, pushback as if we were to say, like, oh, let's erase class inequality. Like, I feel like there are little things that we're slowly by slowly, like, managing to, like, tackle or, like, conquer. And obviously I think with the whole gender expression conversation, you have to just do take into account that, like, it just isn't as easy for everyone. Like, someone who's white, like, going through a change in, like, gender expression is definitely gonna have more privileges and gonna be more accepted into that space than, like, a black person doing it. Like, if you're, like, a black trans woman, that's not, like, an easy thing just because there's other people that are, like, managing to, like, get through the door, kind of thing. So I do think that, like, maybe if I had to, like, think of one, maybe that's one of the ways in which I'm seeing kind of, like, the barriers, like, slowly being broken down. But I don't know. I think that might be a bit naive also.
I understand. I think where my mind was going was, like, okay, let's look at world poverty. Let's say that all these people who are living below the poverty line become above it. Let's just assume that they're now above it. There's still going to be that range in mad rich people and average people and then everyone above the poverty line. Does the poverty line now shift? So there's always going to be people who are in poverty, basically.
I think when you just have, like, because I'll have this conversation, like, with my parents,
mm-hmm.
or, like, other people who have this idea of, like this pro capitalistic, like, vision, yeah. and then they'll always say, like, well, the capitalism we're living now isn't true capitalism, like, kind of thing. Mm. Like, people like that. Like, it's very interesting to yeah. me, because I feel like what a lot of people tend to miss out or, like, conveniently forget is, like, in order to have these really, really rich people, like, that is reliant on there being extremely poor people. So even if you have a society where, like, the poverty line has just shifted and in theory everyone's moved out of poverty, but you're just gonna, like, there's, like, it's kind of hard to escape poverty if there's always going to be inequality, like, even within, like, a richer society, or, like, a society yeah. in which we've moved past, like, our current poverty line,
mm-hmm.
but there's still going to be a new one introduced, because it's necessary, not in order for, like, in order to have all these really wealthy people, you need to have
mm-hmm.
people that are doing all the work, like, yeah. at the end of the day, like,
yeah.
so I feel like, yeah, it's yeah.
Because I just find that so interesting, because, like, when are we just going to be, not when are we going to be content, but, like, what is inequality? Is it really inequality anymore if people, mm. I guess that's a question of what is poverty, actually, because mm. if people are now, people are living, everyone is living comfortably, but some people are just living more comfortably than other people,
mm.
is that still people in a state of poverty? Relatively, yes, but, like, by definition,
mm.
are they really in poverty? Is that really inequality now? But this is just mm. hypothetical.
Yeah.
And whether the world is going to get to that point is a question for another day. But yeah, hypothetically, if we are in that position.
Mm. This is really interesting when we, like, because what we were talking about before in terms of, like, relative inequality
mm-hmm. yeah.
and stuff like that. Because, like you said, like, theoretically, mm-hmm. okay, everyone's living in a position where, like, maybe everyone isn't living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe yeah. everyone's actually, like,
yeah, very comfortable
in, like, what we conceive now as, like, being, like, middle yeah. class slash upper middle class kind of thing. So it's like, okay, are they really, like, in poverty?
Mm-hmm. And, like, the only differences will be, well, the question of triviality is going to come
mm.
in a minute, but the only differences will be, like, trivial differences in that you have a Mercedes Benz and you have a Toyota. Mm.
Okay.
You have a car and you don't. I don't know, you have £100 and you have £1,000, and it's like, I guess the economics are going to come into the chat and
mm.
start saying that, because somebody must have said, if the richest man in the world gave everybody $10,000,
mm.
like, we will get rid of world poverty.
Yeah.
And obviously the economic students are going to come in and give us a real breakdown of how that's just, like, not plausible, and how that's
yeah.
just not going to work, because prices are just going to increase and everyone's
yeah.
still going to be in that same position that they were in the beginning.
Yeah.
But hypothetically, if everyone did, like, just start with the same amount of money, some people had more money, and everyone was able to have everything that they needed
mm.
to live, because mm. the issue with poverty is the fact that, again, referring back to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, poverty is, like, you don't have food, water, shelter, you don't have the things that you need to
right.
basically, like, stay alive and maintain, like, a comfortable lifestyle.
Mm.
If everybody did have those things, is poverty still there and is inequality still there, or is it just you have something and you don't, and that's not fair?
Well, I feel like inequality is definitely still there. Even if poverty isn't there in, like, the traditional sense,
mm-hmm.
in the way that, like our society has found a way to, like, continuously reward the people at the top.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that even if we found a way to, like, reorganize the structure in the sense of, like, oh, there aren't people living in, like, actual poverty kind of thing, even if we found a way to do that, the gap is just gonna, it's just gonna naturally widen, like,
yeah.
once again. Like, if we have a way of, like, revering, like, the richest people and, like, always rewarding, like nepo babies and, like, all these
mm.
people who are already in the line of, like, wealth and succession anyway, mm-hmm. it's like these gaps are always just gonna, they're always just gonna increase, they're always gonna widen.
Yeah.
So even if you have people that maybe, like, they can afford food and they can afford to feed their families and they
yeah.
aren't living in, like, actual poverty, it's like, okay, the inability to access the same opportunities, like, because you were talking about, like, how your definition is,
yes.
is, like, reliant on the idea of, like, having opportunities.
Yeah.
You're still gonna have people that have way less opportunities
than others. And that is inequal. Basically.
Yeah. So even though it's not poverty, it's
yeah.
like,
it's inequality still, regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in my head there was, like, a really, really, like, what's the word? Is it stringent?
Mm.
Is that the word? No. There was a really, like, rigid definition of inequality in my head, in which some people have to really be suffering and other people don't.
Okay.
And, like, inequality can still persist, which is leading on to the next thing that I wanted to say, in, like, just, like, triviality. Like, the trivial things, that's still, like, not fair, that's still unequal. But, again, back to the original question, is it intrinsic to society? Like, is it okay? That's just fine for it to be, for there to be inequalities in that some people have a car and others just don't.
Like, in the trivial sense, like, in the ideas of just, like, materialistic things, like you said, like, the car example, like, I feel like, yeah, like, maybe that's not, like, it's not the most, like, I guess it's not the, like, the worst idea, that's especially in comparison to where we are now.
Yeah.
But I still, I feel like I'm still, like, skeptical of, like, that kind of image, because I just do feel like, it's like, even it's like, even in an example where, like, it's just like a car thing, or it's just like something really trivial, it's like there's still gonna be like a, there's still gonna be a goalpost, and they're still gonna be like, even like the people with the Toyota, even if they can drive around, like, and it's like the car works fine, they're just always gonna be chasing the Mercedes kind of thing. So it's just like any example where you have like inequality, I don't think that, like, even if it's an example where it's something more trivial, I don't think that if there was a way in which we could, like, work towards eradicating, like, inequalities altogether, I think that'd be, like, kind of better than the idea of, like, oh, well, if it's just trivial things, then it's literally fine, because with those trivial things,
where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? Yeah. Exactly. Because then it's very easy to say, oh, you just have a bigger house than me.
Yeah.
You just have 5 bathrooms. Yeah. And then it becomes...
And I just have one.
Yeah, it becomes... Yeah. Actually, you have a bathroom and maybe I don't have a
bathroom.
You just go
to school and I don't.
Exactly, yeah. Like, kind of thing. Like, schooling used to be such a privilege. Like, schooling used to be... And it's still definitely a privilege. Like, education is definitely, like, something that...
It's a huge privilege when we think about it, like, globally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, like, even within, like, this country, like... Having an education, like, not even so long ago, like, having an education was such a, like, it was just revered for, like, very, very wealthy people in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, like, I don't know, like, I just think access is very important. And, like, having an example where, like, everyone is able to access, like, the same things is really the only way that I can really see, like, a way forward. Like, if we have, like, if we like, kind of say, well, like, some inequalities just aren't as bad as other inequalities, especially in the way that they all seem to be linked, I feel like it's very hard to kind of...
That just reminded me of equity. Because the difference between equality and equity... Equality is everybody gets the same thing, no matter who you are. Everybody can be on the same page with what they receive. And then you said it's about accessibility, and that made me think about equity in that everybody receives things in accordance to what helps you to be on a platform,
like,
with everyone
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
So to put that into context, it's like equality is like black men, black women, white men, white women all get £100. But no, £100 is not the best example. What's a good example of... Okay, forget race. Let's say poor person, relatively poor person, mediocrely poor person, and really rich person, they all get £1 billion because that's equal, right? But that doesn't do anything. That doesn't, like, champion any sort of change. Equity is what we should be, like, fighting towards, in that the poorest people are going to get the most money to put them on the same level as the people who are the richest.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. I just felt like that's just, like, what came to my mind when you...
It feels like more of a solution to, like, what we're talking about as far as, like, if we're working towards our ideal society, like, I feel like that's where equity really comes in. And it's really interesting when you have, like, these, like, policies like affirmative action or like what's the term for it in the UK?
I wish I knew.
It might still be affirmative action. But when you have, like, policies or, like, ideas like that, it's very, very interesting when you see who's trying to kind of, like play devil's advocate for the other side of like, oh, that's not fair to all of the white people who still have very, very much easy access to these institutions. It's not fair on them because now you have all these black people and they have to fill a necessary quota to like da-da-da-da-da. And it's just going to make it so easy for them to get into these places. But it's like, it's just making it up for like the recognition of like bias and also just lost time of like not letting these people have all this access to these things. And I feel like with education, that conversation is like definitely so, like, we can really see that play out. I feel like,
yeah, you're right. Okay, I have one more thing to say.
Okay,
it's like, it might be a really wild statement.
Oh,
which is why I left it to the end. This might be a really, really wild. Is inequality just a result of natural selection? In that, are most white Christian men at the top of the social and economic hierarchy simply because they are genuinely superior, according to natural selection?
I was having this conversation with my dad a while ago.
Okay.
And his perspective was very, 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 like, interesting. It was good, actually.
Yeah.
He was talking a lot about, I don't want to mistake what he said, but, like, from what I gathered, it was a lot about more about who was willing to use violence as a means to an end.
You're about to, like, land on the point that I was going to make.
Yeah. Like, as opposed to, like, being naturally superior. Like, we've seen in, like, the debunking of, like early conceptions of race, like we've seen the debunking of that like other human beings aren't like intrinsically more intelligent, more athletic, etc. than others. Obviously, depending on the race and depending where you live, you're gonna have like different biological advantages, but like generally speaking, like we don't have variability in the sense of like human versus non-human kind of thing. So It's very interesting because it doesn't feel like it's natural selection in the sense of like this category of people is actually dominant to this category of people. It feels more like, okay, which category of people was willing to use violence?
No one should like mistake what I'm saying.
I'm
not saying that white Christian men are the best in the world and they are superior. I'm not saying that.
I'm
just saying, like, just thinking about it, let's think outside of the box here. Is it because they were just more willing to do what other people weren't, and therefore they were naturally selected to be deemed as superior in like in the context of the world that we're living in, because they created the system, and the only reason why was because they were willing to, and they just got there first.
Like I had this reading I had to do, for one of my modules. It was about, it's like a book called The Nutmeg Curse, The Nutmeg's Curse by Amitav Ghosh, I think it's by, and he was talking a lot about how like the Dutch, and they were going over to the Bandanese people, and they were very much wanting to like get nutmeg. They were like trying to get all the spices and stuff because they were in like some kind of like spice race kind of thing. And with that,
when they met a lot of the native people, like when they came into contact with them, they'd kind of had this presumptuous idea of like them being barbaric, or like this, they had this perception of like, well, they're going to use violence kind of thing. So they just came in with like all of this force. Like I think one of the quotes was like, oh yeah, like just burn all their houses, just like burn everything and just kill everyone kind of thing. That definitely isn't the exact quote, but it was,
but they get the gist
something
of
to that effect. And it's very, very interesting because you could see that like the way that the native people were operating was very much in the context of like their spirituality and like the values that were intrinsic to them, which were a lot more like peaceful, a lot more passive. And then you just have all these people coming in from Europe, from the Dutch people, like you have all these people coming in and they're just very, very focused on conquering, and they're very much focused on resource extraction at any cost. And so I feel like when we're talking about like natural selection, if we're talking about like who's willing to use violence, like natural selection has definitely managed to cut out a lot of people. But when talking about like natural selection in terms of like who's actually like superior, like then I don't think it can be attributed to natural selection. I guess
absolutely
yeah
it was just the thought that came to my mind. But then on the flip side, could you just argue that is not really natural selection. Maybe you could argue that their behavior was very unnatural.
Yes.
And they're just evil.
Very, very interesting. Which is why
they like beat us. Because when I'm thinking about it, is that I was deep in it the other day. This is genuinely because like we've been here for, I don't even know how long we've been here for, but like it's been a hot minute. The only reason why they were able to go, because I studied the Benin Empire in Nigeria.
Mm.
They had so much wealth until they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why they didn't was because they were kind.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wanted to come in and like, they were welcoming. Mm. The Africans were, I'm going to say Africans, but like, I'm not sure about the specific countries, but they were welcoming to the West.
Yeah.
Even though some of the West came in with brute force, but the general notion of how it happened was that they were welcome into the West, and they didn't think
about the possibility. They probably couldn't even begin and not even necessarily in a specifically Nigerian context. If we're thinking about like transatlantic slavery,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
I am willing to bet that like the whoever was leading at that time in these native countries, I'm willing to bet that they couldn't have even conceptualize some of the things that would go on, exactly, like the eating of people and like the using of like black people's hairs for like furniture, like the using of like black teeth for like dentures, really, like all of these things, like all of the rape that was going on, all of the like just all of the like atrocities that happened. I feel like that probably wasn't the idea. Like it was probably more of an idea of like, it was probably more of a presumed bartering kind of like transaction, as opposed to like, okay, now that you've welcomed us in, like, we're just gonna kill all of your people and we're just gonna really enslave everyone. Like I feel like the whole idea of like kindness being maybe like what was the differentiating factor is definitely very, very interesting. So definitely like when we're talking about equality, I feel like the abandoning of like Western values in general is very, very important, and to kind of like look at other cultures.
That's a good sentence. Yeah.
And to like maybe like for a lot of us anyway, like revert back to like a lot of the values of our own cultures, and especially in how we perceive like other groups, and like perceiving ourselves as being equal as opposed to being like superior and whatnot.
Wow.
But yeah.
I was gonna ask, is there anything that you wanted to leave off on? But like that was like a really good ending. Unless there's anything else you wanna add, I feel as though
I feel like there's nothing more to add. Just abandon those Western principles.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's good. Amazing. Oh my gosh, that conversation went everywhere.
It really did.
And like I think I really liked it.
Yeah, no, I love a good tangent so much.
That's the point.
I love it.
I think that's the point. My notes are just here just so that, like, if there's nothing to talk about, we can have something to talk about.
We can just yap, really. We can just rumble.
Coming from the question and coming to the point at which we ended, it was, I think the journey was good. I think it was nice. I think the people enjoyed it.
Different bases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I liked that. Anyway. Me too. Yeah. Thank you, guys, for listening. This has been Asisa. You can drop all of your Instagram, TikTok handles one more time.
I'm guessing, is it going to be up there?
Absolutely. Is there?
Look at the
make sure you follow and engage with her content and read what she's got on her Substack.
I write a lot better than I talk, so
I think you did amazing.
Okay, thank you. In case anything didn't make sense, just read the Substack.
Just read it,
and it'll probably explain half of what I'm saying. Wow. So, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks.
I was really excited for this.
I hope this lived up to your expectations.
It was a really nice conversation. I really enjoyed that.
Me too. Great. Thank you, guys. See you in the next episode. Bye.